We're in for a wild night.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to episode 189 of Born to be Wild, a wild and wild adjacent Hearthstone podcast where we have fun hanging out with friends, talking about the wild and wild adjacent formats of Hearthstone and spotlighting wild members in our community. So I am your host, Hydralisk, and it's great to be back on this beautiful Friday evening here in British Columbia, Canada. So I am joined tonight by only one of my favorite people. Electric Sheep City is out sick tonight, but what we do have is our glorious, newest, greatest, amazing member, Shmoopy Daddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. It kind of feels like Groundhog's Day because, full disclosure, we got through about 15 minutes of the show and we're redoing the intro, but it's appropriate because it's Groundhog's Day. So we can do it again, and that's okay. And you know what? I'm pretty happy today because apparently, according to the rodent, we will have an early spring. So that's a lot of fun for me. Thank you for having me, Hydra.
Yeah, you know, anytime, obviously. All right, so for those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. Let me briefly explain how the show works. We record this podcast live every Friday evening at twitch.tv/borntobewildhs, and the video version of this podcast is then posted to YouTube shortly thereafter. Audio versions are also distributed to all podcast apps, however you are watching, listening, or absorbing via osmosis. Thank you. Yes. You.
Shmoopy Daddy, content plug. Before we get into the main topic of the show, I'd like to say a quick thank you to Shakuna and the other patrons of our show. Your support means the world to us. If you enjoyed this content, please like, subscribe, and comment on this video on YouTube. Another simple way to support the show is to leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your podcast platform of choice. If you're watching live on Twitch, we've got some awesome emotes that you can unlock by subscribing to the channel. This is free if you use Amazon Prime. There are also emotes you can unlock completely free just for following. Born to be Wild merch. Picture of my wife. Link I won't speak out loud. Here's a link to our shop from our main website. Finally, if you'd like to support the show financially, you can join our Patreon for as little as $1 per month. If you'd like to interact with us personally, please join our Discord, a free and amazing online community of friends all across the world who love talking about Wild Hearthstone. Links to all this stuff and more can be found on our website, which is www.borntobewildhs.com. And just a little bit added in that's not on here. Recently, we added a role in our Discord for Patreons where we threw a lot of the like the nuts and bolts and guts of our show and planning, and Patreons can actually have an eye on that and peek on that and see what we're doing throughout the week, which is kind of cool. Speaking of the week,
yeah.
How was your week, Hydra?
Honestly, this week compared to last week has been like a million times better. As you guys remember, most likely that last week was a bit of a disaster for me when I talked about the training that I had and like the week before, and it was brutal, a lot of stress, all that stuff. And one thing that I really appreciated is that the people that listened to the show, a few of them reached out to me and were like, hey man, you know, stuff happens. It's not that bad. It's cool. Don't worry. Like I feel bad. And I had Tito Santana reach out from Bread and Butter, just saying like, hey, sorry, dude, like that sucks. And Blister Guy had reached out also because he noticed that I hadn't been active in our guild, and he didn't notice it. Like he didn't, I guess, listen at first, and he just noticed that I wasn't online. And there's these like daily quests. They're called like surges, and you're supposed to do them to help out your guild. Like you get points and it goes into your guild and it accumulates and you get rewards. And here's Hydra who's got zero, like at the bottom. And then
there's
everybody else has like
in the force
has like
Hydra
2000,
isn't surging.
Right.
Right.
Hydra's not surging. Hydra's not helping. And he sort of wrote like, hey, dude, hope everything's okay. Like, don't worry, your place in the guild is fine. Like, you're all good.
We're not kicking you out yet.
We're not kicking you out yet. Yeah. Even though, like, the guild description is, like, walk to work and born to be wild members only, like, kind of thing.
Right.
So it'd be weird if I wasn't in it. But then he listened to the episode, and he's kind of like, holy crap, right? Like, that sucks. Hope you're doing okay and all that. And then I listened to his podcast that I was slightly behind on, and then found out that he's been going through COVID for the last couple of weeks.
Oof.
And I reached back out to him, and I was like, holy crap, right? Like back the other way. Like, hope you're doing okay, man. And so he's recovered from now. And then I did like a weird thing where I was couch ridden last Saturday, and I played Warcraft Rumble so much that, get this, Shmoopy Daddy, the guy who was at the bottom of the guild at zero, I played so much in one weekend that I managed to get to the top.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. Yeah.
At least you're a casual.
Arimor just wrote in chat. Arimor just wrote in chat. Yeah, we noticed.
Yeah, we noticed.
Yeah, and then I realized that you could play on BlueStacks as well. So I downloaded that, and it's kind of cool to play on your computer instead.
Nice.
Because it's just a phone game, right?
I haven't
played. But I did all that just like on my phone. But Arimon says, I literally said, Hydra, did you play all day? Yes.
Yes,
yes,
good
I did.
Read. Good read.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty good. But if we're going to go into some Hearthstone, Twist is back, right? So back. I was pretty stoked that Twist was back. I was pretty jealous that everybody was playing Twist while I was at work. My phone keeps buzzing in my pocket, and all I can see is this deck. And you're always on top of it, right? So like the Twist channel that we got going, you're posting stuff in there. And everyone's sharing ideas. We got people like Jules, who's playing in EU early. I call it early, but it's just because I'm late,
right? Yeah. No, we're way behind. We're way behind.
Yeah,
like we're the last.
I'm like West Coast, as far as you can get, almost other than Hawaii, like away. But when I did get home, like I saw Sheep was posting some zoo stuff. And then I saw that you had posted what Corb was playing, and he was playing a secret mage deck, right? And so I have been a dirty secret mage player in my past. I have not in the last, I would say probably at least 2 years, played secret mage, but it's
clean,
not broken. Right, 2 years clean, yeah. It's not broken like it used to be. There is no ice block. You cannot play ice block in this format, right? So it's not bad. A lot of people are just jamming zoo. Most of my opponents were like zoo warlock, right? Or people playing pirate decks, trying to make that work. Right. And so stuff like the fire sale and the flame ward kind of just rolls over all of those decks, and you can attempt to get there with some other stuff, right? So I played on the computer. I played 9 games on the PC, and then the rest was on my phone. So I don't have full stats, but I went 6-3 on the PC, and I was beating the Warriors, the Priests, and the Warlocks and the Rogues were what I was beating. I also, if I'm going to be completely honest, I did lose to the Hunters, which I guess were just maybe way too fast for me.
That makes sense. That's typically like Hunters good into Mage.
Yeah. So it's pretty like decent for this format. It's not by any means, it's not broken. And yeah, I just had a good time. It's mostly a secret deck, but it tops off with a lot of burn. Right, so it ends with Fireball, Cloud Prince, and Firelands Portals at the end. And it also has the Flame Geysers, which also go face, and we got the Medivh's Valets, which also goes face. So you could play this deck as kind of a face deck, right? Like, it's got the burn. The thing is, there's not a good secret that you can keep up to guaranteed get your, if you're playing, if you have a secret, do this.
Yeah.
Because they can pop your secrets real easy because you're running ice barriers, flame wards, and what else do I have here?
The dupes.
And duplicate. So duplicate is amazing, though. Like, if you play that right, like, you're trying to get it on your valets or your cloud princes in general. Or you can have a broken start with mana worm, which is cool. I've also won just by having broken mana worm starts. So, but yeah, duplicate is definitely for the burn. Just, you got to play it at the right time. Don't play it when you put a 1/2 flame on the board. You don't want to play duplicate. That is a bad idea. That you are not going
to
win.
You don't want 2/4 in stats for 2 mana? Broken?
But yeah, so I've been playing that, and I've been playing it while either on the computer or while watching Netflix with my wife, and it's been pretty good. You know what? Something I learned, Shmoopy Daddy.
What's that?
I get way more stressed out when I play Hearthstone on my computer than I do on my phone. So, like, if I'm at my PC and I'm sitting here and
you feel like you're sweaty, like one... you feel like you're all hyped up. Oh, you're like, I'm here for the experience. I will get the victory.
You know what I do is I've got this thing right like behind me over here in the kitchen. It goes dining room, kitchen, living room, dining room, kitchen, living room. Like, I can go in a loop, right? So sure. I'll make my turn, right? And say I'm like a game away from Legend or D5 or you'll whatever. I make my turn, I get up and I start doing the loop. Oh, right? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm just doing the loop, right? And then like I'll lose. I'm like, gosh darn it, now I gotta win 2 games. Old man yells at Cloud, right? Oh, but I've learned that if I'm laying in bed, this is how Sheep hits Legend in the bathtub, by the way.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, you're laying in bed and the TV show's on, you're watching Seinfeld or whatever. I lose and I'm like, oh, whatever. Elaine said something funny, right? Like, it's way different. It's a 100%. Way different experience. And maybe I should just play in bed on my phone and watch TV.
You could be turning off, like, you could be just, like, tapping into your lizard brain, too, and just sort of, like, just tapping into that, like, unconscious decision-making where you're, you know, you've been playing the game for long enough that a lot of stuff is second nature, and you just sort of do it. I tap into it a little too much, so I make a lot of empty-headed plays, like, entirely, but like, it can be very effective, and the thing is, it's, like, it's very stress-free. Like, it's just like, well, I made this decision, it is what it is. And if we know anything about what like Blister Guy has said, like, it, you know, when you guys interviewed him a couple months ago, it's just like, I mean, eventually you'll hit Legend. It's just whether or not you can deal with the roller coaster, right?
Yeah. Well, speaking of you, how was your week?
My week was pretty good. I talked a little bit on the show last week about how Shumpy was having a little bit of a tough time in school. He was reverting to a lot of the behaviors that he had showed in past years, especially last year. And we were a little concerned because, you know, he is medicated for ADHD, and it took us a while to get to that point. But, you know, it's been a godsend. And this year he was doing really, really well in school. And they're like, well, you know, if he's doing this well, he's probably on track to join, you know, first grade with an aide, as opposed to the setting he's in now. But he started reverting back in a bad way, and where it was looking like, well, that plan might be in danger. But he's a big kid. He's 61 pounds, and he's not 6 yet. And he's all muscle. He's not 6 yet. No. He's an animal.
You better be careful. He's coming after you.
Yeah. He's going to be taller, faster, stronger, probably smarter than me. I'm going the other way anyway because I play wild. So the brain rot is just dropping the IQ daily.
Have you already got to the point where he's at the size where when you're wrestling with him, like roughhousing with him, that he can actually hurt you because he weighs enough, he's a big enough person that it's getting a little...
It's mostly the cheap shots. It's mostly the cheap shots that I'm not looking for. I'm not looking for something behind my jawline. I'm not looking for the elbow to the temple. But, you know, he's been coached. He's been trained not to do that stuff anymore. And no, it's not funny that daddy's bleeding. But no, we cranked him up a little bit. And today was a good, yesterday was a better day. Today was a good day. And so I think that's my gut is what it is. And so that's a positive, which means that if we get another couple months of him not rolling around on the floor screaming, "I hate school," you know, hopefully we can get him on the right track and going where we want him to go in the future. So that was cool. But cool. Enough about Sirius Schmoopy and his life. Let's talk about a children's card game. Yesterday, I hit Legend for the 22nd month in a row, I think. I'd have to go back and check with Odin Warrior. I started my climb with Even Shaman, and I hated it. I went like 3-2, and I'm like, this is not effective. I'm not... Mirrors are pain. Even if I know what to do in the mirror and I play a mirror pretty well, like it's still
gotta be
feels,
so many.
It feels like a 50-50 proposition. And like, why am I signing myself up for that? So I swapped over to a deck that I started preparing for. I mentioned that I was started preparing for OTZ a couple episodes back. In THL, yeah. And this was the deck that I needed the most reps on. So I was like, I was burning reps. The Jerk Bandit. So I had all these reps with this deck that I never actually got to use for the setting that I was using it, but I was kind of enjoying myself. And sort of the pattern of play that you play this deck is you go for these big risky skipper turns, you gain a bunch of armor, eventually you drop Odin. Once you drop Odin, all of a sudden all the armor you gain becomes offensive power. So that's why Hydra has included a fun little screenshot, you know, just below my legend shot a couple slides ago of me getting 92 attack against an Even Shaman. Did I need 92 attack against an Even Shaman? No.
It's a little offensive. You got them down to negative 64.
Yeah.
I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't need 92, but I went for it. And so, like, that's fun. Like, you can go for some high scores here. Now, what's a little bit misleading is the way the deck's built. You don't... The trickiest part that I had to come to grapple with learning it, and I posted a mulligan on Twitter on how to do it. It's basically Shield Shatter and things that make Shield Shatter zero against aggro, against like slow stuff, like draw cards, never Odin. I want to draw Odin turn 8 so I can just play him. I don't want him in my hand. I don't want him disrupted. My deck doesn't work if you take him. So like fizzling him if he's in my hand early, that's all good. The only other like deck that you want to avoid, Alex Rogue, and you want to avoid Quest Mage. You can get Quest Mages, but it's tough. But we've got tight-lipped Witness in there to stop the block pop, so you can do the thingy. But it's great into aggro, which is why I wanted to play it day one. Dumpster's Even Shaman. Dumpster's most aggro. And a lot of times, I think what I was struggling with when I was learning how to play it was I was being too greedy. I was like, no, I want to save this for a big skipper. No, I want to save this for... Sometimes you just want to throw out an Eternium Rover because the Pirate Rogue has to trade into it. And if they're trading into it, you're gaining armor. If you're gaining armor, you're prolonging the game. If you're prolonging the game, you're not only like dropping stuff out of your hand that, so you have more hand space, you can draw more cards, but also like, you know, I was dying or I was winning with cards in hand and I was floating mana. And I was thinking to myself, I could have played this stuff. And so there's a billion ways to gain armor in the deck. So if you happen to see a big skipper turn and you're just like, all right, let me gain 63 health now. I'll Odin later, and I'll still be able to OTK them somehow. Or at least, you know, knock them down with tempo. 63 armor buys a lot of time. So I love this deck. I think it's great for the 10x environment. I went 31-5 with it, so that's decent. it's unsettling looking back on it, because, like, it didn't feel like it
You're
was...
Just, yeah, that's...
It didn't feel like it was that dominant, but then I'm looking at the stats. I'm like, wait a second. I only lost, because again, accounting the two games I lost against playing as Even Shaman, I went 34-7 for the whole day. And so I'm looking at it, I'm like, you lost 7 games today. That's it. If you ever see my stream, it's way more than that. So it's like, that was kind of cool. That was kind of cool. And I did, in fact, crown things off by making this golden. I do like the deck. Mm. I don't think it's an easy deck. I think it's a deck that I'm rewarded for having played a bunch of reps with it and getting a feel for the list. But I've got like 250 wins with it easy. So like I know a lot about the list, and even though the boss fight was like, all right, I have Shield Shatter in hand, but I have nothing to reduce it with. I'm just gonna do a Finley. Let's find cards that have text that I can play, and I did. Finleyed, and I got Buckler Shield Shatter, and like away it went. It was easy peasy from there. So like, you know, it works.
Underrated deck in the format, hey?
I think so. For like off meta, I think it's definitely underrated.
Yeah, well, obviously with 31-5, you say.
Like that's not an accident, right? Like I don't just like roll out of bed and just like, let me take this garbage deck, 31-5. I'm not that good. But the matchups were good for the environment that I was seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, how about we dive into some news?
Oh, that sounds good.
Welcome to the news. The news is so good.
Which we have a lot of. So basically, there was a bunch of nerfs. Let's just go over it. So it's the 28
card by card. And just sort of like, this is what happened to it.
Yeah, we'll go through it. Sure. Quickly, so I'll give the dev comment on 28.4.1, and that is, this is our first balance patch after the launch of Delve into Deep Home mini set. The overall goal of this patch is to help the mini set launch in two ways: reducing the power and popularity of some of the dominant decks before the mini set that are continuing to see lots of play, and then toning down some mini set cards that didn't land how we wanted. And they also noted that it's too early for buffs, and they'll keep an eye out. Maybe they'll do some buffs in the future. Fair enough.
Can I say something interesting about how they wrote this? They kind of are setting us up for, okay, there's always going to be a nerf balance patch, and then post mini set, there's always going to be like a buff nerf patch.
Yeah.
That kind of does both, just so that we're not expecting buffs like along with nerfs, and just sort of setting expectations, which I think was like something somebody pointed out to me in this that I didn't think about. And now I'm like, oh yeah, that's smart.
Yeah. It's sort of subtle, right? Not like we're going to do this and then we're going to do that. It's, and this is what we are doing and this is what we might do. So yeah, it's pretty smart for them to word that way. So let's go through. We'll talk about the cards here and whether they're relevant to Wild or not, but we can skip over them if it's not too much. But this is one that I know that you were recommending to me when it was a little bit better. But
yeah.
Velorok the Deceiver used to be a 3/6. It is now a 3/3. How much do you think this impacts this card now, Shmoopy Daddy?
It hurts it a ton. It still might be the best Thief Rogue playoff that they've ever printed, just because, like, discovering the card and then also reducing it by 3 is hella busted. Like, you drop this guy. He has charge, okay? He's got charge. He goes phase. You can slap some gold bloods on it if you really want. And then also, like, it's not impossible to, like, discover a 3-drop and then play it for free. So it was already a pile of stats at a 3/6. Now let's say you're throwing a spider tank on top of that. It's just a lot of tempo. And also, like, you know, stepping him, he only costs 1 mana. So it does definitely hurt, like, proper Thief Rogue. I haven't brought myself to try to play the list yet since he's been nerfed. But he was so good that players were starting to build Pirate Rogue around him. to give you an idea of, like, this was a serious card that people were taking seriously in Wild. I don't know if they're doing that anymore nerfed. Not right now. Maybe if they give the nerf a little room to breathe and somebody gets bored and wants to play with them anyway. We'll see. But, like, Thief Rogue made it on the Tempo Storm report. So, like, he's so busted, he was not, like, inconsequential in the Wild meta. So, yeah, this absolutely hurts. I hope they revert him, but I don't know if they will.
Yeah, we'll see. In all honesty, when people play a card that says charge, yeah, it will be a long time. When you're playing a card with charge, you're doing it for a reason. So let's look at stat lines of a lot of charge cards. It's usually they got a small butt, right? Yeah. Right, other than Warrior. But in general, they got a small butt because you're charging, you're trying to get that damage in right away. Yes, this had 6 health, which makes it so it doesn't need to be for, like, a killing blow, right? It's going to last. It's going to be something you can have on the board for later, but it's still pretty sweet, in all honesty.
It traded into 3/3 totems beautifully, and then you could still step it, and it would live, and it would, you know, live to trade into another 3/3 totem. It can't do that now. So, like, it's definitely much weaker in our format, for sure.
Yes, for sure. All right, let's see what we got next. And that is Shatter Shambler. So Shatter Shambler used to be old, was Battlecry, your next Death Rattle minion costs 1 less, but immediately dies when played. New, the next Death Rattle minion you play immediately dies.
No Wild deck was playing this. But it costs 1 mana, and its effect was powerful. It wouldn't shock me if it became relevant in the future. Nerfed as is, no impact.
Definite potential for the future. I'll quickly give a read from what the dev comment was for Rogue, sure. And that is, Excavate Rogue is an example of a pre-miniset deck that we wanted to tone down a little to make room for new strategies. We're happy that our recent buff to Velorok has facilitated this deck that people clearly love playing, and we don't want to undo that. But it's a bit too powerful and popular. These changes to Velorok and to Shatter Shambler reduce the early game blowout potential of Excavate Rogue to keep what's fun about playing the deck, but have opponents, but give opponents more of an opportunity to respond. Fair enough, right? Like the 6 health on the Velorok is a little gross, so I get it. Not too much to complain about there. So let's talk about some Druid. So Cactus Construct. Old was discover a 2-cost minion, summon a 1/2 copy of it. Now, same thing, but it's a 1/1. How much of a nerf is this?
Big nerf. I thought this card was like, this looks like an arena card, except you play it in duels and you're like, hey, this is pretty good. I thought it might be an aggro druid card, but sheep would be screaming and crying and gnashing teeth saying that I would say that right now. some really good players are like, do we play 1 copy of this in Reno Druid? In this form, probably not. Like, the 1/2 versus a 1/1, like, you want the early trading.
The 1/2 is just so much better.
Big nerf to the card, no real impact on the Wild format, honestly.
Yeah. I think it's huge, but it's not huge for us.
Pet card for me, but not a big deal for this show.
Yeah. So Herald of Nature is next, and so old is Battlecry. If you've cast a nature spell while holding this, give your other minions +1/+2. New is if you've cast a nature spell while holding this, give your other minions +1/+1. This seems like a classic. This has happened to Murloc War Leader, stuff like that, not giving the extra health. It's pretty common. In my opinion, the extra health is pretty huge.
It is.
Yeah.
No impact on the wild format. There were no meta.
No impact aggro, on the wild format.
Aggro druid wasn't playing this. We go much more lower to the ground than a 3-mana 3/3, even if it does come with a board buff. So, meh.
Well, let's talk about one that we have seen before. Mm-hmm. Pendant of Earth. So, old, discover a minion from your deck, gain armor equal to its cost. New. Discover a minion from your deck, restore health to your hero equal to the cost.
Big nerf. Biggest hit is Mildruid, which was using this as a 3-mana gain 20 armor. Still seeing play in Druid, in Auctioneer Druid, as a tutor for Auctioneer. Big nerf, mostly impacting like slow druid decks, not really combo druid decks. So some impact on the wild format. Also, stealth impacting. I'm calling it KVLT priest or sister priest. It was like an APM priest that Maxi developed that made the Tempo Storm report by some miracle, where you're using like Radiant Elementals and Sister Slavana, whatever her name is, to basically like make that infinite shadow spell and then make it zero, and then you spam it, and then you, it's random BS, go! And then you sort of win, and Pendant of Earth would go grab some Grave Horrors to get you like 12 health when you, you know, 12 armor when you needed it. I haven't seen anybody play that deck since Pendant got hit, so like that's probably a sign of this. That's the only other impact I could see on the wild format, honestly.
Druid does quite well even before this card came out, so I think Druid will be okay.
The specific tutor is very powerful still.
Specifically, yes. Definitely. All right, what do we got next? We have Shattered Reflection. So this is Priest Druid card. Old, choose a minion, add a copy to your hand, deck, and battlefield. It has been nerfed to add a copy to your deck and battlefield. So no longer into your hand. So you don't get that immediate, I can play this card again next turn sort of thing. How big is this?
Big for standard, good change for wild. I haven't seen it a ton. I would have expected to see it more, but we're a lot less greedy in our format and our games don't go as long. So this wasn't showing as much play. But a nasty card.
It could be gross. I think this has potential, especially in its old iteration.
It's still decent. It's still decent. It's I think Martian was using it to make infinite like C'Thun the Shattereds. So like he would be shattering and then he'd shatter reflections, and so he'd get one in his hand and put another one back in his deck. Then he'd use his other shatter reflections and you get another in his hand and put another back in his deck. But mostly this was being used on the Druid Titan in both standard and wild when it was seeing play. I know, some impact, fringe impact.
Fringe, yeah. Cool. Well, I'm going to read the dev comment quickly on this one, just so... Oh, no, I missed one. Actually,
you missed one.
Process.
You missed one.
Yeah, I did.
You missed one.
I didn't capture the image for it. So
that's okay. That's okay.
But, well, we'll just read it out. So, due process, Nate Wolf, as an aficionado of the legal process, would remember this card. Used to be 2 mana, and let me tell you, it is now doubled. Like Shroopy Daddy is like basically jumping up and down in his chair right now. Due process is now a 4-mana card. What do you got to say about that?
Rest in PP Mill Druid. You won't be missed. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. It's just such an obnoxious card, and the lower down the legend, the lower down the wild ladder you go, Mildruid is an incredibly popular card, which is sort of like probably because it wins against all the greed piles people try to play, and so doubling it to 4 mana seems very fair to me. It's a really toxic effect. It's a toxic card. It leads to bad feels and bad play patterns. A lot of competitive players kind of looked at it and were just like, well, I'm glad Mildrewid's gone, but I don't know if this, like, we really needed to do this in Wild, but, like, I'm happy. Like, everyone I've talked to is probably happy. And, you know, it's kind of like Turtle Mage. Just like, you know, Mildrewid probably shouldn't be that good. So let's not make it that good. And smile and walk away from its twitching body.
Well said, Shmoopy Daddy.
Thank you.
Well, let's see what the devs had to say on that. So that was Druid Dev comment. So the Druid Dev comment was, there were a few powerful Druid archetypes that we wanted to address in this patch. Cactus Construct is a powerful card across Druid decks that had room to be a little bit weaker. Herald of Nature Change makes early Treant Druid boards a little easier to react to. Pendant Earth was adjusted so that it can be still a strong offensive tool later in the game, but isn't as strong as early proactive stall tool. And Shattered Reflections was causing too many reflections, leading to repetitive gameplay. Wow. So we took one reflection away. Finally, we can do process because the game is less fun. I'll just stop at that. The game is less fun.
Don't have to say anything else. It's less fun with Mildrewid being good. And they say it like when it's a prevailing strategy. And in some places in the Wild ladder, it is a prevailing strategy, and it sucks. Not anymore.
It does.
Not anymore. If people want to play it, fine. You can do Solar Due Process, but that's going to cost you 6 mana. All right? It's going to cost you basically your entire turn 6. You're not going to be able to do it to me turn 4. You're not going to be able to just rip Due Process on turn 2 when I'm playing, like, you know, C'Thun Reno Priest and my hand costs a billion. So, you know, I don't know what else to say about this. This was a good move. And you know what? Hot take. I don't think that this will get reverted. It's not long until this it's not long until this rotates. I think the devs saw a reason to hit this and hit this hard right now. And I think they're going to leave it dead so they never have to deal with it again. That's my reading of the tea leaves on this. I'm shocked they set it at 4. I don't think they set it back down again.
Clipped at 38 minutes into episode 189.
Oh, good. Yeah, you can play it back to me and tell me I'm an idiot. That's perfect.
No revert. Got it. Actually, I'd love to see if you honestly nailed it, in all honesty. All right, so Boogie Down is our next nerf. So we're into Paladin now. And so it's gone from 3 to 4. That's it, right? So summon 2 1 cost minions from your deck. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Instead of different. Give them taunt, the finale is summon another. Yeah, so no more taunt, summon another.
It's a worse call to arms.
That is.
And you don't want to run a bunch of one costs and call to arms anyway. So the card's dead, pretty much.
It's been, that's quite the rework, actually.
It's just obnoxious. Yeah, right. And there's a lot of powerful one drops in Standard right now. So, like, having it pull 2 of the, oh god, what are the snake boys? The 1 mana, 2/2 snake boys, potion peddler, snake oil salesman?
Snake oil, yeah.
Yeah, 2 snake oil salesmen and an
archer. Whatever, the guy who gives you snake oils.
Two snake oil salesmen and a righteous protector on turn 4 is a decent turn, and it's good deck filling. Deck filtering. So it's still probably a good standard card, but like it has no application in Wild right now.
No.
It did before, it doesn't.
All right, well, next. Yeah. Yeah, agreed. So we got Garden's Grace. So this has gone from give a minion 5/5 to give a minion 4/4. So that's +5/5 to +4/4 for Garden's Grace.
Relevant in Wild, but kind of relevant. Aggro Paladin does still play this card when Aggro Paladin is played. So slight hit to that, but they still discount each other. So like really you're looking at +8/+8 if you have both in hand and can play them.
Yeah. So not super relevant, but definitely a slight hit. Quick dev comment on that is Paladin was looking strong after the mini set. Boogie Down is a card that we've seen in almost all Paladins since it was released, so we're making it a little bit slower in adjusting the finale to partially compensate for the later play. We're also hitting Garden's Grace to reduce some of the deck's from hand burst potential. To that, we've got our eye on Shroomskivate, but we like that players are trying out the new cards, so we're trying to make just these changes for now, and we will make further changes if needed. All right, so let's look at a big bad coming up here. The big bad Thad. We got Thaddeus. Thaddeus is on deck. So let me find that one. I don't think I actually captured the image.
Do you want me to read it
one,
off the so, change? Or you got it?
Yeah. Go for it. Okay.
Old was Taunt. Your odd cost cards cost four less. Swaps polarity each turn. New is Taunt. Your odd cost cards cost two less. Swaps polarity each turn. This kept getting cracked in half by different things. The first thing that popped up was an OTK for Reno Paladin with Itis and a Holy Maki roll and Thaddeus. So you drop Thaddeus so that like your odd costed cards cost four less, and Itis was free, and Maki Roll was free, and you could just infinitely play Maki Rolls on Itis, and eventually, like, everything blew up and blew up the opponent. And the problem is that was like an APM combo, right? And then people figured out that you could use Thaddeus, you could cheat him out, and you could complete all three stages of the Demon Seed in one turn, and also fatigue your opponent to death. That was also an APM combo. Those are not the only two combos that people figured out to sort of crack Thaddeus in half, but somehow they've nerfed him once and he became like almost even more broken. And so this nerf really seems to look like, no, we're just going to kill the card at this point. Like, forget it. Like we're sick of dealing with that. Just get rid of him, tank him, which I'm perfectly happy about, because if I have to hear or read in chat, odd is even as odd, unless you've ramped, in which case even is even and odd is odd. I'm going to go absolutely insane and eat my microphone. So I'm glad I don't have to deal with this anymore.
Yeah, fully agreed. In all honesty, I played this card very little, but I've definitely been completely blown out and wrecked by it. So rest in peace, Thaddeus. I'm glad I don't have to really see you again. Hopefully until someone figures something else out.
You're nicer than me. I would have said rest.
I almost did, but then I realized I might have to gurgle it.
Oh, sorry.
At 43 minutes.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's all good. So quick dev comment on Thaddeus is, we don't think combo play patterns are inherently bad, and Thaddeus isn't a power outlier right now, but he has been in standard for a long time and has facilitated several decks with early one turn kills and low feelings of agency. We think it's time to make another adjustment to Thaddeus and see what standard looks like when he's significantly weaker. Now that we've been able to make these changes to Thaddeus, we're unbanning Pyrotechnician. So there you go. And so, yeah, Pyrotechnician is no longer banned in standard. You can play that card.
The arena card that is now playable. That was so funny. But it was what it is.
Let's go.
Yeah.
So that wraps up all the nerfs that we had. We did have an interesting topic come up. So I don't know if anybody else noticed this, but we had a few people in the community in the community that noticed some interesting things when the month rolled over into the new season. So I posted the tweet up here from Ridiculous Hat. Shwoopy Daddy, you want to take this one away?
Sure. We've gotten some reports that some players did not get their end-of-season rewards. If this has happened to you, please reply to this thread with your battle tag and the server you play on. We're investigating now and will update ASAP. I am affected. I did not get my monthly rewards. So it was weird because, like, you know, usually you open up on the first of the month and you know it's the first of the month because you get the scroll come down and you're like, oh, man, I was just trying to get in the client, man. And, like it's like you earned a... Mm-hmm. And it gives you the multiplier, and then, you know, you get to do the things. You're like, well, really, I just want to play ladder, guys. You guys are delaying me right now. But it happened this month, and I noticed, I was like, there's a disturbance in the force. I haven't been annoyed yet. Why haven't I been annoyed yet? And I didn't get my monthly rewards. And somebody, I think, was postulating that if your twist rank was higher than any other the ranks of on your servers, you didn't get it. And so I had hit twist legend before they took it away. So maybe that was the issue. Now I'm not hard up for the resources, but if you are affected, make sure you do go to Hat's Twitter, find this message, and do reply to it with your battle tag and your server, so that you get your monthly rewards, because you should get your monthly rewards.
Yeah, I didn't notice personally. So one of the first things I do on day one is I don't rush to legend, but I do wake up in the morning, and before I hop in the shower, it's just on my phone. I open it up and I see, like, oh, let's see, like, you know, what star bonus I got. And I didn't think twice about it. I'm pretty sure everything was fine for myself.
If you got five packs or something, you know, you're good. Like, or four packs. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is.
No, I think we were good because I remember I'm good because I opened the packs that I got, and then I remember having the thoughts going, I wish that we got packs for the next expansion as I was opening cards I already own.
Right.
So yeah, I was not affected personally by this, but I did see plenty of people on Twitter saying that they didn't get their stuff. So yeah, speak up. If you didn't get it, say something and they'll look into it. I know that there were a few other people that had mentioned that they think that they got a lower star bonus than they deserved, was another thing.
Hat looked into that and he said everything was good. There was less engagement with Wild this month. So even though last month, 2 months ago, people were getting like 11x on at rank 1500, several people at rank 500 did not get 11x this month, including Electric Sheep City, who I would have sworn would have gotten 11x at like 500, despite us having a legend population of around 9,000. Now, you know, we've said in the past, you know, that star bonus sometimes is aligns with the top 10% of legend. So like if there's 9,000 people in legend, you'd expect down to 900 to get 11x. But really, it's tied to the greater population of people playing the mode. So, for whatever reason, not as many people engaged in Wild, except for the hyper-engaged. So, hence, higher than usual line than you would expect of the start bonus. So, unfortunate.
Yeah. It seems funny because we definitely had that. Some people got a higher bonus than they thought they were going to in the previous month. And then, yeah, it dipped back down and... Some people got a little lower than they thought they were going to, but you get a little bit of a lower bonus. It's a little bit more of a grind. You lost a star. I felt it, definitely. It's like it's happened, and it sort of, you know, feels bad, but in the end, it's not the worst thing in the world. If you can just think back and remember the way the ladder used to be.
Oh, yeah.
One star ain't so bad.
It ain't so bad. And actually, like, it's almost like you get to pick and choose what meta you want to experience. Like, let's say you don't get the 11x. The 11x, like, yeah, like with 11x, you can pull a 45% win rate and still hit legend, or 42, or even worse. But like at 10x post D5, I know I'm seeing a sea of even shaman. So I can queue up something like Odin Warrior and go something like, I don't know, I must have been... It would not shock me. I'd have to look back. It would not shock me if I lost one game between D5 and Legend, because you just counter the even shaman. You just skate your way there early on, right? while all the bots are up there before real people with real decks are have made their way up there. So like it's kind of different experiences where versus 11x, where you know 11x players tend to be a little bit greedier because they can afford to have a lower win rate, and so like you can be in for a little bit more of a haul if you're expecting just oh it's going to be an easy legend, not necessarily on 11x. So
yeah, it's always funny to see hey I hit 11x with a or sorry I hit legend with a 42% win rate when you have 11x. That's possible, right?
Yeah, it is 100%. Makes good bait,
right? Definitely. Well, Shmoopy Daddy, are you ready to get into our special topic
we
have this week? All right. Yeah. So our special topic this week is Delete Wild? Question mark. So this stems from one of our good friends of the show, Imic. So Imic put out a tweet this past week that sort of, you know, sparked some interest. And Imic is one of the main content creators and people who run Hearthpwn.com, good friend of the show. But he put out a real good tweet that really got some people going. So
I got baited.
Shmoopy Dad, you got baited. So how about, you read it. Yeah.
Okay. I have an idea. Can we please just delete Wild completely? It would give the devs more freedom with new cards, and it'll have the same issues in the future as duels with more and more bugs being introduced with the big, uncurated pool of cards. Also, once per year, they make nerfs that are supposed to remove negative play experiences, but there are so many broken things that need to be nerfed, it's just better to delete the mode at this point because of the two big points mentioned. They really need to make more frequent balance changes, the same as they do with BGs or Standard, and possibly rework cards that are always going to create issues like they did with Parrot Blade, etc. It's a sad reality, but it is what it is. Hydra, how about you respond to this first? Because I eventually did type out a response to this, but I want to hear what you thought when you first saw it.
So there's a few... Well, when I first saw it, my first reaction is that a lot of people in general get frustrated with the mode. We do see people leaving, some bigger streamers, all that, people that get, you know, they spend all day playing this mode, playing this game, and people get frustrated. I understand that. Maybe the game isn't meant to be played 8 hours a day, right? But we knew years ago that this mode was going to be broken, right? And it's just something that I think is destined to be for the mode. It's going to get more degenerate. It's going to get faster. You're going to get crazier control tools. We spoke about this last week with Zephyrs and Reno and stuff like that. Like, that's just going to happen. And aggro decks are going to get faster. You're going to get crazier removal tools. But there is actually, I should have got a screenshot of Sheep's life cycle of the mode.
Oh yeah, he made a really cool, like he made a really cool graphic of just like new set or mini set comes out. Oh man, where is it? Oh, I don't want to forget a stat.
Yeah,
I'm gonna look for it right now.
Okay, so I found it. I'm actually going to capture it, and I'm going to bring it into the podcast right now. But yeah, Sheep was completely spot on with this. So let me save that, and I'm going to bring it on over and drop it in. There we go. All right. You see that on screen there, Shmoopy Daddy?
Yep, I do see it. Not well because my eyes are bad, but
yeah. Well, join the
good
club
for normal people.
The blind, the blind. Good for Wild. So, do you want to read this off? Can you see it?
Sure. New mini set coming out that will save Wild in quotations. A new card breaks the format. People rage bait on Twitter because of new interactions. Circle with an arrow. We are here. Developers push through a fix at the earliest opportunity. Format is, quote, stale because, quote, nothing ever changes, end quote. Man, are we really that easy? Is it really that easy? Like, don't we feel
apparently.
This happens to us where, like, you know, something comes and changes the meta, and if it does get changed, we get right back to the old meta, and then we look at it and we're just like, well, this isn't good either.
Yeah, it's like something is coming. We're happy. It's going to be cool. It gets here. This is broken. Like, right? And then everybody gets angry. Devs change it. It gets nerfed. Then we're bored again. It's basically
Or sometimes it is actually better. Like, I know it's not me personally. Like, I think instrument tech needed to go, right? Like, and so I was glad when instrument tech and Twig Sphere got hit. That changed the meta and like Wild a lot for me and made it a more positive experience for me to play. I wouldn't say that the meta was like stale or nothing changed after that, but I'm me. You know, for some people, like, if they have to face another Even Shaman again, it's like, well, Wild's just Wild because I have to face Even Shaman, right? And like, I respect that point of view because that's how some people feel, right? Like, some people feel like listen, I wanted Secret Mage and Big Priest nerf. Some people feel like I wanted Secret Mage and Big Priest nerf because I'm sick of playing against Secret Mage and Big Priest, right? And that's the reason why they hit those cards, in my opinion. Like, nobody was like, there's no competitive reason to hit Cabal Aki or Shadow Essence. I'm sorry. There's no reason to do it. They did it because they wanted to do it for feels. And so, you know, that's for some people, that's what it means that the meta is stale and nothing ever changes, because they do see the same decks over again. Sorry, and what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to go back to the fact that if we look at the wheel again, let me put that back up, the part where people, where is it? People rage bait on Twitter because of the new interaction. So we have some, I guess, influencers online that a lot of people watch, right? So a lot of people watch Meowth, Raffle, Korb, you know, Martian. I would never... Martian's such a humble person and nice guy that I don't even... wouldn't call him much of...
Three of the four people upset. You just mentioned don't play Wild anymore.
Yeah, I know, but like... well, because of certain reasons, right? So they get... they play Wild so much that they get upset by this, right? Like, wouldn't you if you spent 8 hours a day doing it? And so what I think is they are influencers, definitely. And I never had an issue with anything in the game until I started getting involved in the community, right? I didn't know. Like, I would play stuff, I would lose, I would win, whatever. But as soon as I start seeing someone on Twitter complaining about it, I'm like, you know what? You're right. Mid-range Shaman is aggressive and mean. like back in the day, right? I didn't know. I thought Spirit Claws was just fun. But apparently people hate this card, right? So...
man, I'm learning so much, like, Hydra. You got some deep scars there from the mid-range Shaman. Damn, I didn't know we went that far.
I do. I got people rage adding me back in the day because I was playing mid-range Shaman. I didn't know people hated it, right? And people kept adding me and getting mad. I just I'm like, it's winning. I'm going to play it. I found it on Hearthpwn. I don't know what to tell you. but I guess what I'm saying is there is... this community that follows these people on Twitter, on Discord if they're in their channel, or on Twitch, and they are a small percentage of the entirety of Wild, right? So when we think about the amount of people that hit Legend in Wild, I know that in China it used to be crazy. And if we got 8,000 here, maybe 10,000, let's say the same in the other two servers, give or take. Say there's 30,000 people hitting Wild Legend, 40,000. That is like a drop in the bucket compared to the entire amount of people that actually play Wild. Like, it is huge.
Yeah.
It is absolutely huge. And so it's these guys girls, gals, they, them, whatever at the top that are seeing these decks over and over and over again, and they can influence a crowd, right? Because that is what people are watching. But even the amount of people that are watching, if someone's in a Corb or a Mouth stream, say there's 600-700 people watching, that's still nothing compared to the amount of people that actually play the format.
They're echoing to the hyper engaged is basically the point I'm getting from you, is that like it's like they are hyper engaged, and they're echoing to other hyper engaged people, and not for nothing, people which listening to this show are also probably hyper engaged people. They're listening to a podcast on you know, Wild Hearthstone. So like in a lot of ways, it's just like, well, yeah, this is like our perspective, right? Like this is kind of the silo that we find ourselves in. But you're not wrong. We do sort of have to remember, and this is why I like dumpstering down to Bronze 5 every once in a while, completely accidentally. I'm not deranking on purpose. I would never admit to that. I like enjoying the meta, observing the meta down there and seeing the things in the decks that people play, and just sort of like a lot of times, honestly, it's a standard player who doesn't want to queue standard, and they're just playing their standard deck in Wild.
Yep.
But sometimes it's like somebody trying something really fun or trying something really neat. And there's a lot of people that engage in the game at a very casual level down there, very casually. And they could care less whether or not Mech Warper is banned from the format or not. It doesn't really affect them. They might have had a goofy combo that no longer works, but like it's not something that they're hooked in on. Meanwhile, I drink coffee in chat said they already deleted Wild for me because they banned Mech Warper. And like I know the man has been married to mech decks for, I think he said, like 6 years. Like, you know, hyper engaged, a serious player, that played THL, I believe. Right? Or at least was like pushing 11x with mech decks, and then all of a sudden they ripped the rug out from under him. Like, to your point, the people that like we're sort of messaging to are kind of like the people who already would agree with us in some ways. So
yeah. No, I definitely all good points. I just think that I understand where Immic and anybody else that agrees with Immic can come from, and that is just a frustrated place. People, the hyper engaged, getting frustrated with the format, and it's not because they don't like the game; it's because they like the game, right? You wouldn't be hyper engaged if you weren't. So it's definitely comes from an understandable place,
passion, a place of passion. Right. And that's someone like Zeddy always claims. Like, well, I care about the game a lot, which is why I make the content I care about, only that I make. I actually have different reasons for disagreeing with Immic on this one. Again, respectfully.
Sure.
He says it would give the devs more freedom with new cards, and it'll have the same issues as he makes two points in this one statement. It would give the devs more freedom with new cards, which I think to address first and foremost, I don't think the developers. At first, I thought the developers sort of kept Wild in mind, and I sort of went in my response to Immic initially. I said, well, listen, like if they do, it's on a very shallow level because it's very obvious when broken combos come out in Wild. We catch them very quickly. They proliferate on Twitter almost overnight. People are playing them day one of the set, like hour one, minute one of the set. Like they come out and we
know
they're
usually posted before the set comes out. This plus this plus this equals legend,
and everybody knows it, right? And then you queue up your goofy homebrew, and then you're running into it immediately, right? And so like we see it coming from a mile away. So for the devs, who are smart people, to not also see it coming from a mile away while also keeping Wild in mind, kind of like is either a staggering ineptitude, which I don't think it is. I just don't think they're considering Wild all that much. And Martian's just like, when have they ever said that they consider Wild? They don't consider Wild when they do new cards. We're on our own. And I'm like, that makes my point even more. Wild is not inhibiting on design space at all. We are collateral damage of it. I frequently say on this podcast that when new cards come out, I am filled with dread. I am very much what new hell awaits. And I say it every time, and I remind you guys every time. I'm just like, I don't know. I've got a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of trepidation of a new set coming out, because I don't know what my play experience is going to be like, and if I'm going to like it more than I like my current situation. And honestly, I'm usually like a devil I know kind of guy. So I think that that's a false premise, that Wild is inhibiting design space at all. As far as it'll have the same issues in duels with more bugs and more resources being put towards fixing dumb stuff that's breaking in Wild, I can't argue that point. I really can't. I think it's not wrong that, like, yeah, we're going to have some goofy stuff. Right now it's on the periphery, right? And sometimes it's like something like a Nubarak. Who plays a Nubarak? where for a while it just wasn't working. Like you die or something like, oh my God, Tarantus. Was it Tarantus didn't have the aura where he couldn't be targeted? So Zeddy made it like a one-man mission to just be annoying. It's like, why don't you guys fix Tarantus? Like stuff like that's just going to happen on the periphery, and sometimes it's going to happen very prominently, like when we had the Skulker issue. But when the Skulker issue does in fact pop up, they are fairly quick as they can to fix it. And like they really did like work 24/7 to try and fix this, fix this patch, which was really, really, really tough for them. But I will say this in counterpoint to that, you don't delete Wild because of that, because Wild is an eternal format. Name a card game that doesn't have an eternal format where you can use all the cards, and I'll show you a young card game. Any card game that has been alive for as long as Hearthstone, a line of an active and successful as Hearthstone has, is always going to have an eternal format. Heck, it might even find itself having more than one if you follow like Magic the Gathering, that keeps printing eternal formats and keeps making new rule sets. And sometimes, a lot of times, those rule sets and eternal formats have ban lists and they have curation. And I don't think the Wild Hearthstone team is in a position right now, especially just after layoffs, where it's in a position where it's able to properly curate Wild. But at the same time, I'm not convinced that I necessarily want them to, because I don't always like the standard nerfs. And I don't think Wild should be nerfed as much, or nerfed and curated as much as standard. But I do think the standouts and some things should be taken care of at times, especially if they seem like, super negative play experience, or if it's just straight up broken as a power outlier. So that's my two cents on that, as far as limiting design space. No, that's just not happening. That's just untrue. If you think it's happening, it's in your head. But as far as like being a pain to run, yeah, it's absolutely a pain to run. But at the same time, it's expected. It's a prerequisite. I don't think you could have a card game that's this old and not have an eternal format. That seems like a money grab, really.
Yeah, well, it can't go away. There's been so many people that have invested in the mode, as we talked before. There's like tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands possibly playing this mode. Must be, right? Like when we look at how many people have hit just Legend, right, in the mode, sure, that have invested in this format, right? Like people that have been playing the game, whether it's obviously over a longer than a 2 year period, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, we're at the 10 year anniversary at this point. People that have been playing the game for this long, they're not going to just end a mode where people have been collecting the cards for 10 years. Right. So it's going to be here. You may not be happy with it, but it's going to be here forever.
Yeah. I mean, I almost get the sense that, Imic would prefer it wasn't there. So it wasn't a reminder that he doesn't like it, as opposed to this being sort of a serious thought as like, okay, we're going to improve Hearthstone by doing this. But I don't know. Yeah. Again, just remaining respectful. Like I disagree. I disagree. Which is why I got real snarky. And so on my drive home to work the next day.
Yeah, I was gonna point out. So some guy decided to come up with a bit of a snarky response to this and come up with his own tweet. Turns out I know him. He goes by the alias of Shmoopy Daddy, and he wrote,
"I have an idea. Can we please just delete standard completely? It would give devs more freedom with new cards and balance slash support wild, while also removing an expensive and boring format with like 3 playable decks. This is often how I feel about standard. This is not a serious tweet or a serious thought. I was trying to mirror the absurdity of the original tweet saying to delete wild with, well, let's delete the mode that where they actually like make money and they, you know, are sort of churning people to continue to buy cards and buy sets. Like with wild, we buy the cards and we keep up the sets and we keep going. But in order to stay competitive and standard, like you have to keep getting the sets. And like there are people who stay competitive by like deleting all their cards that are shifting over to wild when they start to rotate, and that's just how they maintain their collections. So you know, when we, especially if we have one of the balance patches like we just had, a lot of people feel like this past balance patch hurt variety and standard. So when I say in a boring format with like 3 playable decks, and those playable decks do in fact shift dramatically. Like if you're a class main, it must be infuriating to play standard because like you don't know if like your deck is going to be on top 1 minute or if it's just going to be completely unplayable the next minute. Because it's like a roller coaster ride. They're doing their best. Balance is really hard. I'm not slamming the devs here. Balance is really hard. And in standard, you're doing it more often, so you have more opportunities to get it wrong. But yeah, I haven't heard good things about this balance set in standard. And so like, hey, what if we just got rid of standard? And then, you know, they can give wild more love. Smile.
In all honesty, while I'm not a standard main these days, when I was... It definitely was. It does seem like it was always the top 3 playable decks. Like, while you may be joking a little bit, it's pretty true when it comes to that sort of thing, right? So
yeah. I think like right now, I think it looks like the most like I think post nerfs, Treant Druid is like tier 3. So that was like that was sort of like keeping the foot. And that's the thing is like you do some nerfs and like everything's like an ecosystem. And it's like almost like you poison the ecosystem. And like sometimes it's good because, oh, well, this was an invasive species and it was holding this thing back. And like now everything's a lot healthier. Or sometimes you just like, oh, you eliminated a food source for this deck. So this deck doesn't exist anymore. And like this deck doesn't exist anymore. But you got way too much of this deck because it used to, you know. That used to be prey for this deck. And so like I think we're in one of those situations right now at standard where I think it's Plague Decay, Reno Warrior is popular but fake, Naga DH is okay, Sludge Warlock is okay, and it looks like actually Rainbow DK is decent. So you have more than three playable decks, but like, you know, the point is like the scope of what's playable and what's viable is small. And a lot of times that's because, you know, well, you nerf one thing, there are always, you know, consequences.
Yeah. And in wild, like our Tempo Storm last meta snapshot, we had 20 plus playable decks right in the snapshot, which is pretty cool in all honesty. And we got Shmoopy out of here going what was it, 31-5 with Odin Warrior,
31-5 with a deck that's not even on the Tempo Storm report.
Yeah. And so on my climb, I didn't see a single person playing that deck, right? And here we got Shmoopy Daddy who's just killing it with it. And yeah, guess what, I see Even Shaman constantly, and so I've been playing the Shrivala Paladin deck, right? The Holy Wrath. And
yeah, Holy Wrath, sure.
it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And I, when I see Even Shaman, I know what I'm mulliganing for, right? So like I'm prepared for the matchup. And yeah, it sucks that you see that deck over and over and over again. It does happen, but you can prey on them.
Yeah, it's really the fatigue. Like the problem with Wild right now is the fatigue of Even Shaman. Like everybody's sick of playing against Even Shaman. And it's a good deck. It's a tier one deck on Tempo Storm. It's a good deck, but like we see it too much. And if there was less of it, I think we would celebrate the amount of things that are actually viable in Wild right now, because there is a huge swath of decks that are playable.
I'd like to see them maybe do something about it eventually. It's just, it's long in the tooth at this point. It's been around for so long, and it's evolved from, it wasn't a totem, straight up totem deck in the beginning. Like it's changed over the last however many years. It's always been good, and it hasn't dropped out little here and there, but in general, a little, but it came
back with in Nethria. It came back, like, and it's like, oops, it's tier one. It's like, oh.
Before it was a totem deck, like, that was one of, I talked about it on the show. I can't remember. I had some absurd, like, 60-5 record with it or something like that, like, back in its original iteration. I think we were playing Lich King in it.
Nice. Nice. Like, oh my god, I think you were. And Bone Mare, right? Was Bone Mare was even back then?
Yeah.
Bone Mare was six. Oh man, even Paladin was good too. I remember that. No, I mean it's just fatigue with like this version. This version's been good since Nathria. I mean, Nathria was that the first expansion last year? Or 2 years ago? In this I'm talking about in this rotation, right? So no, it was the middle one. We had Sunken City, and then we had Nathria. So, like, we're talking about like a year and a half where one of the best decks in Wild has been Even Shaman, and not that like it hasn't been playable. Like we've absolutely had. Obviously, you have decks that can just dumpster it, but some people are just sick of playing it, and I can't blame them for that. So,
me too. I'm sick every time it comes up. But
let's be definitive. Are we deleting Wild?
We are not deleting Wild.
No, we're not deleting Wild. Okay, cool. Can I ask you some advice?
I think that's probably appropriate.
Unrelated advice. With Hydralisk.
With Hydralisk. So, Hydra.
All right, what do you got in store for me?
You're a dad, and your kid's a little older than my kids. I've got two. Mm-hmm. You've got one. I've got a girl and a boy. You've got a boy. What I'm curious is my kids won't eat dinner, or they will eat dinner, but then you know what I'm ending up doing? I'm making second dinner, and I'm making like PBJs, and I'm making like grilled cheese. And then it's like, okay, Dad, I want another. So my question for you is either what was your strategy when the second dinner came around, if you had second dinner, or what would be your advice to me now that I am the chef after the chef is retired for the night? She's like, I did my job. I made you dinner. Talk to your father.
Okay, so I got some questions, right? So you're saying dinner number one has been made.
Yes.
Did they actually finish eating dinner number one?
My son often to our expectations, yes. My daughter will frequently go, ew, and shove it. But she is even if it's something she likes.
For dinner number two, which is the PB&J.
Yes. Or grilled cheese. I make a mean grilled cheese. I'll put that on my bio.
So in my experience, kids, and this will happen into their young adolescents, into their teens, everything. So yours are quite young. they will be full of crap. They will quite often tell you that they're full when they are not full, because they, at this point, you've set a precedence. There is dinner number two, right? They know, like, that if they don't finish their whatever dinner number one is, let's say it's lasagna or something, and they maybe they don't like it so much, they know PB&J is coming, right? So they're smarter than you think. They know it's coming. So they're going to tell you that I'm full. Like, I'm done, Dad. I had my piece, or I ate half my piece. I'm full. I can't eat anymore. And they think they can fool you into giving them dinner number two, right? Gotcha. And they're so cute and they're so small at this point in time that you may give in to that, because you're schmoopy daddy and schmoopy mommy, and you love the little schmoopies. But this, if you continue to let this slide, when they are 14, like mini Hydra, they're going to still try to pull this crap. Hmm. And trust me, my son still does. So we'll have, say, even with something like tomato soup and grilled cheese, we'll do that, right? And he'll eat all his grilled cheese. We'll make like two sandwiches each, and we'll have a bowl of soup, and he'll eat the grilled cheese right up. And he's like sipping on the soup, and he's like, "Oh, Dad, I'm too full. I can't finish. I can't finish my soup. I can't do it. Then lo and behold, like 30, 40 minutes later, "Dad, can I have a bag of Doritos?" Like, are you kidding me? Like, I knew you could eat the soup. I knew you could. So basically what I'm saying is you kind of got to put the foot down. Okay. Dinner number one's got to be it. And they may cry, they may whine, but kids are smart and they will take advantage of you.
Okay.
So you kind of got to be a bit of a hard butt.
Hydra advocates for starving children. Wiser words were never spoken, and you heard that on
Bored to Be Wild.